Potters. Welcome to episode 231 of Cospod Podcast for all things cosplay.
Yay!
Yay! I am Amber, your friendly co-host.
I am Valerie, and I'm dead tired.
See, this being Texas, the sun is the evil day star.
It is the evil day star. Though it's been rainy all week.
I want to be far, far away from the evil day star as possible.
We've already hit 90 at least once this month. Yeah, buddy!
And that was after baseball-sized hail 2 nights ago.
Woo! Texas! It's storm season for us, so it's normal. It's totally normal. And it's funny having to deal with that with people that I know who've just moved here from up north and in the northeast. And it's just like, get ready to this craziness, guys. You have no clue.
And there are still places in the United States getting snow.
Yay! Spring? What's that?
Of course, this is just making me miss winter all the more for that one tiny, I can't really say one tiny day we got snow because we did actually get a decent chunk of snow for one day. It just happened to be in the middle of a winter storm.
I don't want to relive that again. That was awful.
I actually ended up buying something because of that, which we will get to in the after session.
Oh, cool beans.
It's part of Amber's unboxing.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yes, so it means that you should stay tuned for the after session today.
Yeah, and for those of you who only listen to us on your whatever podcasting platform that you choose, head over to our YouTube page because that's where all of our after sessions live, and that's where a lot of the zaniness and the Cospod memes come from.
Including your ideas for Nick Cage soap.
Heck yeah. I got plenty now.
I'm still waiting to see, like, on our social media, people make suggestions for, like, what Nick Cage soap would smell like.
I can only imagine.
Bring on your scent ideas. I'm picturing something like man-made soap, which has some very nerdy descriptions for some of their soap scents. They're standard scents for soap. Like, you could go to any handcrafter of soap and find the same scents, just the descriptions are eloquent
and geared towards funny, geeky, dorky things. It's great.
Also geared towards adults.
Yes.
They're not child friendly. All right, so let's go ahead and start with cosplay updates. Would you like to start or shall I?
It's all you because I got nothing. I'm still living as if I have no place to do anything because plumbing issues. Yay, so go.
Okay, so I have still been trying to do spring cleaning, and I say trying because you'll understand in just a moment. So I've been working on a couple of things since I haven't been able to sew. The first is that many of you probably know that I'm a very big Lord of the Rings fan, and the little pouch that I normally wear that carries the one ring actually disintegrated. It fell apart.
Whoops.
I think it was poor fabric for one, and for two, it was only one layer thick. So I redid it, double layer thick this time with better fabric. And it still has the little hanger and everything so that I can, you know, hook it as a pendant. And this is mostly just to protect it so that the engraving stays nice.
Mm.
I know that they say that you can seal these things with, like, acrylic sealant and nail polish and things like that. The copper pendant that I wear, I tried that on this. And it oxidized anyway. So I don't trust those remedies that say, oh, just seal it and it'll be fine. No, no, real life tells me otherwise. So I'm, you know, putting this in my cosplay knowledge book that no, you can't just seal it and expect air not to be able to get to it.
Right.
So I have a new pouch for my one ring that I can now wear. So that's one thing. The next thing is that I ended up getting a whole bunch of packs of dowels because I realized that I want to go back into prop making again. And I know some of you guys saw, I think it was about six episodes ago, that I wanted to make a wand for my Sky Sorceress costume. And I had the components that I was assembling. Well, I ended up getting smaller dowels because these are a better size. and more sturdy than what I had MacGyvered back together. So, of course, I have now painted all of my components, so I can now make my little, you know, Sakura-style wand. Once I assemble it all, and I'm going to stain the dowel a nicer walnut color, because birch just does not suit. And, of course, I have my little resin crystal as well.
Yay.
That I will eventually make light up, too. So I have all of my parts, and now I have a bunch of extra dowels, so maybe I'll make some Harry Potter ones while I'm at it or something. Because, again, you can only buy these things in bulk. I have no idea why, when you only need, like, 2. Maybe 6 at the most. Not 12. So now I have 11 other dowels that I don't know what to do with. All right. Next, I was looking on Instructables. Because, you know, Instructables is Amber's version of Pinterest. And something that I've always wanted to do at conventions, aside from wearing casual clothes, is I've always wanted to be able to wear hair sticks in my hair. And hair sticks, of course, just being literal sticks that you stick in the bun in the back that have shiny things that dangle from it on chain. And those can get very expensive very quickly, and I have the skill to make my own. However, the Instructable that I saw ended up having you take a dowel and put an eyelet straight down the center of it, which I find very difficult, and it also risks the wood cracking when you try and put the eyelet down the center of it, especially if your dowel's not very thick. So I went and ended up buying food skewers instead, because they did not have chopsticks, and a bunch of cord ends, which are actually intended for this sort of thing. Not for hair sticks, but for actually terminating the ends of things, and then you can hang chains from them. That is what they are for. So much easier than drilling eyelets and dowels. And for once in my life, I am not doing it the complicated way. So hopefully, after I stain these and make the end not quite so sharp and pointy, so I will not stab myself when I wear them, or anybody else for that matter, then I will make myself 8 pairs of hair sticks. See, this is why I said trying to spring clean, because I did get rid of a bunch of stuff. Now I have more stuff. Because that's how this works.
You get rid of things to buy more things.
Of course, because I now have space with which I must fill with stuff. You cannot have empty space, because that is the law of cosplay. Next!
She has lots of things, which is great, because I haven't been able to do anything.
So, you guys saw last episode that I was messing with Kamui's pattern pieces. And I will tell you a bit of a funny story. And you'll see that this is taped with extra Manila extension, because originally I had assembled this, and I will tell you that both sides of the seams had to be taped, because one side was not enough and the pieces would just pop apart. I'm going to call out duct tape right now. Your tape is not as strong as you say it is.
Oh, talking smack.
It is not permanent stick. No, not at all. So I finally ended up taping this together. Not all of the key marks where you're supposed to match up the pieces actually match. So I kind of had to do a best guess method to try and at least make the edges line up, and I just kind of ignored the hash marks.
Yeah,
which I know it kind of defeats the purpose, but they don't match up. And Kamui says she makes this out of 6 mil foam. I had a lot of trouble getting these 2D pieces of paper to curve to actually match up. I don't know how she does it with 6 millimeter foam, which is even thicker than this. I might use 3 millimeter foam if I'm ambitious. But when I assembled this all together, I held it up to myself and went, huh, this actually fits a lot better than I thought it would. Like, I might not actually have to make any adjustments at all. You know, it goes around the side of my arm, and it fits the armhole properly. And then I looked down to try and figure out where the side seam was, only to find out that the side seam is not labeled, and that I had been looking at the back on my side. The pattern is actually half as big as it needs to be. Which is why the extension is taped down the front, because that's how much larger it needs to be to fit me and have the side seam be where the side seam is supposed to be, not have the side back look like the side seam in the front.
I gotcha.
So that is That is a recommendation I would make for Miss Kamui. If you do further iterations of this pattern, it's a good idea. I know it's labeled mirrored on the center and the back seams. It would be good to actually label those center seam or center front, center back, and side.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise, unless you've made clothing before, you don't really know where the side seam is because it doesn't tell you. But I know that because I've made clothes before.
Sure.
So that's why there's only, this is the front side of the pattern. And then I also have assembled the back half of the pattern. And this is also going to need extension, probably about the same amount as the front. Just, it's really hard to fit this kind of a pattern when, one, you're by yourself. Because I have to hold it up on my back and try and make extensions and hold it up in my bag. But also because I noticed it only gives you half of the pattern. So for the breastplate, I only have the left half of the front and the left half of the back. I don't have the right half at all.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fine. It saves paper and it saves cost. But it means for me to properly fit this, I now have to duplicate this and all of its pieces because not everybody has a symmetric body.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to make sure of that before I cut this out of foam. You know, measure twice, cut once sort of thing.
Right.
But as far as I can tell, this is exactly, it looks like what it should, according to the picture of the pattern. Just, it's going to need quite a bit of modification for my particular size.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my pattern fun. And then you guys will see this in the near future, but I also did go ahead and record the making foam look like leather for you guys. And I learned some new things, and I think you guys will too. I did not light anything on fire. I was working directly underneath my smoke detector, so I was very, very careful. But honestly, if you look at the foam, you can barely even tell that I did a tutorial on trying to make it look like leather at all. Most of the texture has already disappeared.
Oh, man.
Except for the one. You can see all the pock marks.
Yeah.
Because I did several experiments to test several hypotheses I had that tutorials don't always tell you. Like, they'll just say, just do this. They don't really tell you the why. They don't tell you the how. And they don't tell you how changing, like, what if I change the temperature of my iron? What does that do to the texture?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody tells you what temperature your iron has to be at, or what happens if I make it go higher or lower. What happens if I change the thickness of my foam? Nobody does that. So I did. And you guys will see that in the near future. So I had more fun with foam. Last but not least, I have to step over because this is a little bit heavy. Ugh. This is the reason why you have to stick around for the after session. I got new toys. One of which may or may not make it easier for me to light things on fire.
Always a good thing.
Yes, I have. This is for prop making. So I have more things I will be able to play with.
This is her precious.
I got supplies. I will be unboxing this in the after session.
So yay! You guys can see. Cool stuff.
Even Val doesn't even know what I got.
I have no clue what she has purchased. So this will be interesting for me too.
I have new things.
Amber has new toys. Yay!
So those are my cosplay updates.
Cool beans. Way more productive and more stuff done than I have done. Because I've just been spring cleaning some more. Because that's all I can really do right now. Woo! Rock on.
I had to make up for all those past weeks when I didn't do much.
Right, and it sucks because it's like, I want to sew and do things. I can't. I got no space. I'm stuck.
Well, to be fair, I've also been plugging away at my parents' birthday gift.
Oh, there you go.
Which is kind of high on my priority list.
And, you know, that's probably pretty soon.
Yeah, I need, that has a definite deadline that I need to have it done by, so... That one's a little higher priority right now than the cosplay. But yeah, there you go. Cool all stuff. Sorts of fun, and my apartment is once again a mess, and that's okay. Nobody's coming to visit me anyway.
So it's fine. Not a big deal.
All right, shall we get on to today's topic?
Yes, let's get on to our topic for today. Am I introing it?
Yes.
Cool stuff.
I just jabbered.
You did jabber quite a bit. You gibbered and you jabbered. Man, we come from an era.
Go look up jib jab, kids, if you don't know what that was.
The jibber and the jabber. All right, so our topic is going to be something that I stumbled upon on Twitter. This was actually a talk maybe about 2 weeks ago from now. And the moment that I started seeing posts about it, I emailed Amber saying, we're going to talk about this. We'll say what the topic is first. It's, has the level of entry into cosplay contests priced people out of competing? And is there favoritism based on monetary means? And this kind of spurred off into talking more about how judging occurs, what kind of judging needs to happen. A bunch of people weighed in about the importance of sewing as well as knowing about other crafts. So it kind of really expanded upon the realm of what is cosplay contests. And a lot of people who don't enter that scene really got a chance to kind of see the behind the scenes and realize that it's more than just the flashy things you see on stage. There's a lot of thought that goes into picking out the winners and how these costumes are made. So that was kind of cool. But I felt that the topic itself was kind of interesting. It's like, you know, as so much of cosplay has elevated in the last couple of years, and it just seems like every single year there's something new coming out and just keeps topping and keep going bigger, 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 bigger. And it's becoming almost an expectation to always see those at cosplay contests. But at some point, the materials and the time and even the distance to travel to enter these contests costs a lot of money. And now it's a question of, is it becoming too expensive that some people just can't afford to enter cosplay contests anymore? And are judges choosing to align themselves with the cosplayers that have the money and the means and the resources to make these cool big costume pieces over those who may have a much smaller budget and are utilizing costume satin and cardboard? So there we go. There's a discussion.
My short answer is yes. and I don't say that in the sense that I think judges are intentionally playing favorites, mm-hmm. because judges don't generally know how much you've spent on that costume.
Right.
Based on the materials and the techniques that are used, you can take a good guess, but you also don't necessarily know if that person acquired those materials, say, from an inheritance. Maybe they found it at a really good garage sale or a Goodwill. You don't necessarily know where they got the materials or for how much, but you can take a good guess on how much they might have originally cost. Now, that said, the entry level to get to the point where you can win cosplay contests is a little different than the entry point to compete in one.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Pretty much anybody at this point can compete in one. Anybody can enter one. And there are tutorials aplenty online. Check out our YouTube channel.
Our YouTube channel has a ton of them. I swear, most of them are by me.
For learning how to do stuff. And of course, there's always Zigoogle, mm-hmm. if you want to figure out where else to find video if it's not on our channel. Or on YouTube, for that matter. But getting to the point where you can win a competition, you not only have to be able to use high quality materials, many of which are admittedly expensive. Try buying a sheet of Warbler.
Mm.
But you can't always use some of those techniques with those materials, like 3D printing, like sandblasting, CNC machines, engraving, laser etching. Most people don't have those machines at home. Not even in their garage. So you also have to have access to places like makerspaces.
Assuming you have one.
Or shops that are nearby. Like sometimes even manufacturing shops will have places where interns will train. And so you can sometimes pay a membership fee to go and use their machines. And typically you don't just get to walk in and use machines, even in a makerspace. you have to take classes and safety and know how to use the machines first. Those can also cost money. So you have to buy expensive materials. You have to go to special places to be able to use those materials. And then sometimes you also have to pay to go take workshops on how to actually do those techniques. So you may have to go to like Reynolds Crafting Supply and go take a course on casting and mold making for $75. So that cost adds up. So once you've done all of that stuff, you've acquired the materials, you know how to do the techniques, you also have to have the time to sit down and make that cosplay. And if you are like us and have full-time jobs as adults, well, first priority is making the money, unfortunately, and not making the cosplay. So unless you are well enough off to be able to take time off to go work on the cosplay, you're kind of stuck just having to pull all-nighters, which is unpleasant. So even then, you're kind of limiting that to people who have the time to dedicate. For those who are working multiple jobs or those who are in school, those going back to college, that sort of thing, you just may not have the time. And we've both been there, done that in our lives.
To kind of add to that too, it also depends on if you have the proper equipment, like you have the money to go buy an embroidery machine, that will cut down on your time tremendously from hand embroidery. So, but that's also a very big expense where money does play a good portion into like, hey, this will save me a ton of time and I'm willing to shell out the bucks for it.
And then once you have finished that cosplay, this amazing cosplay, there are a couple of considerations you have to make, which also cost money. You're probably going to want to protect it, which means you either need to take it with you when you travel to wherever the convention is, or you're going to have to ship it. And if you're going to ship it, you're going to want to insure it. Because if something happens to that thing on the way to the con, you're not going to be very happy with the postal service. You're also going to want to have spare parts handy in case something breaks. That means you're going to have to make duplicates of certain parts of your costume, and that's going to cost extra money and extra time. And then, of course, as you mentioned, there are travel costs associated with competing, not just things like airfare and hotel and such, but you're also going to have to eat at the convention because you're probably going to spend long hours getting ready for that competition, in which case you may have to spend 4, 6, 8 hours cooped up in a room, in which case you can't really like go out to eat, so you kind of have to have something brought in. And you have to also budget money for that sort of thing. And then you have to get the costume back home. So you may have to ship it back home, take it back home with you, et cetera, et cetera. And then maintain it should you wish to use it to compete in other contests. Because it's going to be, you know, sweaty, dirty, and you're going to want to cleanse it so that it's at its best if you're going to showcase it again. All of those things cost money and time. The average beginner cosplayer is not going to have all of that.
Especially if they're wanting to enter a cosplay contest.
Especially not a large cosplay contest that may be, say, out of town. If it's your local con and it's a small con, like, for example, the contest we run at AllCon, pretty much anybody can enter that.
Yeah.
And a lot of the locals do. And you don't have to have an expensive costume to win that one.
Nope.
Most of these costumes would not place if they went to a con like Anime Expo. It's just different levels of competition. So it kind of depends a little bit on the con that you're competing at too. Not to bring down anybody who has competed at AllCon. That was not my intent. Just, have you seen the Cosplay Anime Expo? Holy cow. I couldn't dream of entering anything at Anime Expo.
I totally
That's
get
like
that.
That's like World Cosplay Summit level competition. And actually, I think they are one of the qualifiers for World Cosplay.
They are. Well, they are the qualifier now.
Yeah.
The one and only.
And speaking of, if you choose to compete at something like World Cosplay Summit, you don't just have one costume.
You have
to make many.
Six? Six, seven. There's a lot. Because it's not just the contest. You have to do stuff throughout your week there, and it always requires you to have a costume, and it's a different costume every time. So you're putting together quite a number of pieces for all of it.
And they all still have to be high-level quality costumes.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just kind of, you know, call home on three of them.
Right.
They all have to be good. So, yeah, I think we kind of have gotten to the point, at least if you want to compete to win, I think we kind of have effectively put too many shiny gadgets and sounds and smoke machines and, you know, special materials into the winners that not everybody can compete on that level if that's the expectation. And I feel bad because pretty much everybody who goes into cosplay starts out in the same place.
Mm-hmm.
And we get it. That's why at least whenever we run our contest, we try and overlook maybe like if you chose a different fabric, like if you have satin over silk or something where there's a cost difference, I think as long as it's costume appropriate, the judges actually take that into account. I mean, if you're using fleece when you should be using silk, that's a different story.
That's a different story entirely.
Yeah, as long as you're using an appropriate fabric, generally we try really hard not to deduct points because you are using less expensive materials. We care about, well, what quality of work did you do with those materials?
Yeah.
If you can MacGyver something,
yeah,
go for it, man.
That's why we have a creativity category specifically for mm-hmm. that, is to accommodate the people who do take unusual materials and transform them into something completely different and out of the ordinary. I've mentioned this multiple times on the show, is one of my favorite props I've ever seen. Somebody made it out of yogurt cups. I was like, you would never know because the way that they painted it and the way they manipulated the material, you would have no stinking clue. It looked like a staff. It was great. So yeah, but in terms of this topic, I think my answer would be, it depends. I think I'm agreeing with you in that entering into a cosplay contest, I don't think there's any monetary level required. And pretty much anybody can enter anywhere for any reason, whichever they want to choose. I think it also depends mostly on the convention and the type of contest that it is. Because something like an anime convention, you're going to have much more focus on craftsmanship and quality. And so you have a little bit more of an even playing field. Now, obviously, there are, you know, tit-for-tat situations. And there are those who have experience who are probably going to be much higher level and are more likely to win, obviously. But if you were to put those same people into a comic book convention where you have a bunch of B-list and D-list celebrities acting as the judges, well, they're going to focus more on what's the flashiest, what's the shiniest, what is exuding all the lights and all the smoke and all the sound and has everybody applauding.
Because that's accurate.
Not even that. It's not even
really?
That. And no, it's a lot of like whatever gets everybody's attention and has the loudest mm-hmm. applause, that tends to be the ones that win. It doesn't matter what the construction is on the inside. It could be all held together with duct tape. As long as it is pleasing.
Some of them probably are.
I've seen quite a few of them, unfortunately.
They don't flip your seams at comic book conventions.
They don't. No, they really don't. The one comic book convention that I was at, we actually had a judging panel of experienced people where we made sure to look at that stuff. And people seemed a little surprised by that. And was like, because we care. We want this to be fair for everybody. Sorry. But most comic conventions, you don't really ever see that. So if you have a big, flashy, showy piece that you think is going to get a huge applause, you enter there, you're probably going to win something. Whereas if you enter that in an anime convention, probably not. Because if your stuff on the inside is not very good, they ain't going to pay attention to it. But I can definitely understand where, as the materials have gotten better, as access to information and technology has gotten better, more people are able to get up in the ranks faster in cosplay contests, but it does come at a cost. And that cost is either going to be money or time.
Or both.
Or both.
Generally, it's both.
You know? I mean, but usually though, if you have the money to spend, like my example earlier was an embroidery machine, that will definitely save you some time compared to hand
Plus,
embroidery.
something else that's kind of tangentially related is if you have money to spend, you can always commission somebody else to make it. There are plenty of people that do compete with commissioned costumes because you can do that as long as you disclose, I did not make this, I am modeling this.
Depends on the contest. You got to be careful. Read the rules first.
Yes. I'm simply saying that this is a thing that exists, and a lot of people do it simply because they may not have the time or the skills or techniques or access to these special materials, but somebody else does. And so it's easier to pay the money because they've already got all of those things than it is for me to spend even more money to acquire all of them, to have access to things like a makerspace, to have classes, to sit and watch, marathon YouTube for all these different tutorials. So that's also an option. But if you want to commission a good quality costume, and if you guys haven't read the whole box with scissors, ribbon, and thread meme on what it costs to make a costume, you probably should. There's a reason why people charge what they do
Yeah,
when you
it's
commission
expensive.
costumes. So that kind of, in and of itself, will price a lot of people out of what they would consider to be a good costume or entry into that. And that's when they'll go to online costume shops and pay much less for it, but the quality is also not always there.
I will say, I know some people are probably listening to this being disheartened and being like, man, I want to enter cosplay contest, but I'm not at that level yet. I don't want you guys to feel like we're saying, no, you shouldn't do it. You should absolutely do it. If you feel like you're ready and you're invested in it, do it. You could have great experience out of it. You'll learn a lot, even if it's your very first time. And then you'll kind of pick up the ropes from there. Because I've had so many things that I have posted on Cospod, all about cosplay contests. I'm not going to regurgitate any of that. We got plenty of videos for you all to watch. But I will say the biggest thing is just look at the contest, take the time to read the rules, figure out who's judging it, and that'll kind of help you determine if this is going to be a good fit for you. If you have a big showy piece, then you know to go more towards the comic book conventions. If you have something that you spent a lot of time crafting, where you did some nice French seams, or you've done some really cool creative techniques using yogurt cups, go look at an anime convention because you will probably place a lot better there due to your uniqueness in your creativity. The type of judging that goes on between conventions makes a huge, huge difference. And the craftsmanship judges are more often than not going to be at the anime conventions. And they most of the time they really don't care what the heck your materials are, because if you can blow them away by saying, yeah, I made all of this out of cardboard, and they're like, dang, that looks like sheet metal. A plus. They're gonna be on board.
And there's also a component which has come up big in the cosplay contest that we run. And that's that even if you have average quality materials, your performance on stage can actually make or break a category.
Absolutely.
We've had people win categories with the simplest of costumes, literally simple costumes. But their performance just won the audience and the judges over.
Absolutely. Performance makes a huge impact. It can be literally a point difference between winners and the losers. Performance has a big, big impact. So always take the time to rehearse what your presentation's going to be and kick butt at
Like, even if your costume is made of cardboard, that's perfectly okay. Remember the days of Coscom? Cosplay.com forums, featherweight cardboard tutorials were the bomb. Everybody was following them, and they still are the bomb. But go on that stage and rock it like it's not cardboard. Rock it
Exactly.
like it is stainless steel. And the audience will believe you. Plus, there are lots of tutorials online for things like painting and weathering so that
Yes.
it doesn't really matter what material you choose to make it out of. You can make it out of milk cartons if you want to. You can make it out of toilet paper rolls. That's perfectly fine. when you paint it with a really good quality paint job, no one's going to know what the material originally was until you tell them.
A good paint job can make an okay prop into an amazing one.
It can also make an amazing one into a terrible one if you don't take the time to actually do a good paint job.
Mm-hmm. Paint makes a huge difference.
Or whatever, you know, coloration you're choosing to do, even if it's not paint. If you choose to dye something, same concept applies.
Mm-hmm.
I think that pretty much sums up our thoughts on the matter.
I think it does. It's an interesting topic, and it was just fun to kind of see what other stuff kind of spiraled out from that to kind of really expand what the cosplay contest experience is like. Because, again, the average person just watching the show has no idea what's really going on in the judging room or what the cosplayers are going through, what they've had to do to make their stuff. It's just an all-new experience for everybody. So it's kind of cool to see them get involved and ask questions and really learn about the process and what goes into it.
I would kind of like to see the cosplay community, whenever we're doing judging and contests in general, I would like to see it kind of come back around full circle to looking for things that are innovative,
mm-hmm.
instead of looking for what's flashy.
Yeah.
It's not all about who can make it light up the best, who can make noises with, you know, programming soundboards and such. All of those things are cool. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to stop anyone from doing it. It looks really cool when you do it. Just, I would rather save that sort of thing for photo shoots,
mm-hmm.
or for skits than to have that basically be the standard for winning cosplay contests, since I kind of want everyone to be able to have that shot.
Sure.
And I even remember, I think it was 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, at World Cosplay Summit. And the big thing was transformation costumes.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't cost very much money at all. It just takes a lot of engineering,
mm-hmm.
creative planning. It's like having those patterns on paper and they tell you, what is this going to look like when you fold it up? Or they'll have the shape and they'll say, what is it going to look like when you unfold it? It's that kind of spatial thinking, that kind of creative thinking. I want to see that rewarded in cosplay contests, because that takes some real thought and planning and passion,
mm-hmm.
and not necessarily so much the money or the time.
It's a lot of ingenuity.
It kind of levels the playing field,
yeah.
a bit more, I think, because anybody can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Literally anybody can plan that kind of costume. And it's amazing when you see it.
I think that comes down to also the quality of the judges. I think the judges make a huge difference in it. If you get a really great, diverse judging team that has an immense amount of knowledge between all 3, 4, 5, 6, 20 people, however big your judging team is. I've been judged by 20 people before, that's why I say 20. thanks, DragonCon. but you need to have a very diverse panel that are expertise, maybe in one or two areas, but they also have the knowledge in the other areas of cosplay, because cosplay is so stinking diverse that they can really help push innovation over the shiny, flashy, I got the money to spend on this. That makes a big difference.
I would love to see at conventions, and here's a free idea for those who are looking at doing panels at conventions. Like Val said, we have a bunch of panels on how to do cosplay contests.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, here's how you walk the stage. Here's how you pose. You've got your 30-second rule. I want to see somebody do a panel on, like, getting into character for cosplay contests,
yeah.
specifically. Like, even if you're cosplaying a character that you don't know well, there are certain things that you can do with it. If you know, like, 3 bullet points about that character,
mm-hmm.
about, like, what kind of person they are, then you can do these things. I really want to see a panel on that.
That'd be
great.
It's almost
kind of like a combination between improv and theater.
Mm-hmm.
But for cosplay competition.
That would be a good one.
I would totally attend that panel. And I would film it if they'd let me. whenever we have cons again.
Right. Eventually. Eventually. Eventually.
Eventually, if people get their stuff together.
Well, good luck with that. I think we can wrap that up. That's good.
Well, of course, if you guys have ideas for any panels that you would like to see at your local convention, or if you'd like to let us know what it would look like if Nick Cage was in a cosplay competition walking across the stage, feel free to join in the conversation on any of our social media, which, of course, you can find here.
For those who are watching us, all the information is located underneath Amber. For those listening, visit us at cospod.org, on Facebook or Instagram at Cosplay Podcasts, or on YouTube and Twitter as CosPodcasts. Obviously, the answer is Nick Cage is going to win, because it's Nick Cage. Heck yeah.
I just want to see him walking across the stage and doing three poses.
It would be the best 30 seconds of my life.
Or if he's going to be one of those people that, you know, basically sprints across the stage.
He would never. Are you kidding me? He would never. He does not need any lessons. He would know exactly what to do. He would be a pro from second one.
And of course, if you would like to let us know which cosplay you think Nick Cage would be wearing across stage, you can email us,
yes,
podcast@cospod.org. Otherwise, we will say, please stay healthy, stay safe out there, please keep wearing those masks, go get your vaccine so that we can all be back together again at your favorite local convention. Happy cosplaying, everybody. See you next time. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye, guys.